what's in front of you and get clear about your motivation to change. Overcoming your inertia will require focused intention and a repeated reinforcing of that intention. Journaling, creating a group support system, and my online support curriculum and tools at bloodsugarsolution.com can help you overcome these obstacles. What are your obstacles? They might include beliefs about what's possible or not, like I can't cure diabetes or lose weight, a negative relationship to your body and to food. Eating food makes me fat and sick, but I love to eat. Self-defeating thoughts and behaviors. Biological addiction to sugar. A toxic food landscape of fast, processed, depleted, calorie-rich foods. Aggressive food marketing practices. Buy this and it'll make you feel healthy and feel good. Lack of available high-quality foods that are high in nutrients and low in calories. Saboteurs at home and at work, or food pushers. Too many responsibilities, trouble saying no to others, and yes, to yourself. Or a history of failed attempts to change. The biggest belief that obstructs our path to success is the idea that we really can't change our health that much. We may lose a few pounds, feel a little better, but our health destiny is pre-programmed. Just look at my diabetic father or my obese grandmother or my sister who had that heart attack at 52. What can I really do to change that? Everything. There may be beliefs and attitudes, negative thought patterns and behaviors that prevent you from starting a process of self-care and self-nourishment. Focus on what's important to you. Is it feeling well? Living a long, vibrant life? Contributing to your community? Spending more time with your family? Working through your bucket list? Taking a trip to the zoo with your grandchild? Having sex till you're 90? Starting a business? Walking in the woods with your loved one? Riding your bike across America at 85 years old? For me, the definition of health is being able to get up in the morning and do what nourishes me, being present with my family, doing a good job at work, climbing a mountain in the winter on snowshoes, playing basketball with my son, learning something new, and having the energy and strength to make a contribution to my community and my friends. That is what helps guide me in my choices every day. So what's important for you? Start a journal now. Journaling is an excellent way to get in touch with your inner motivations and break the cycle of mindless eating and activity, to be honest and accountable and present to yourself. We often overeat because something is eating us. We stuff ourselves with food in order to stuff our feelings away. We use food to block feelings, but you can use words to block food. You can write in order to better metabolize your feelings so they don't end up driving unconscious choices or overeating. A diet of words and self-exploration often results in weight loss. You metabolize your life and your calories better. You will also use a journal to track your food intake every day, and your exercise, and your sleep, and your symptoms, and your numbers, including weight, waist size, and your lab tests. Recognizing how you feel and what you experience as you alter your food intake or begin taking supplements and start to exercise more is like innercise, building the self-awareness needed to strengthen your ability to create high-level wellness and wholeness. Be honest about your food intake. Record everything you eat and the amount. This simple act will bring insight into how you care for your body and your well-being. In her book, The Writing Diet, Julia Cameron suggests you ask yourself four simple questions right before you choose to eat something. First, am I hungry? Second, is this what I feel like eating? Third, is this what I feel like eating now? And fourth, is there something else I could eat instead? I also have my patients ask two related questions. First, what am I feeling? And second, what do I need? You may be hungry and need food, or lonely and need a friend, or tired and need a nap, or angry and need to sort out why. Not all of these feelings need food, although for many of us, that is our default action when we don't feel right. As you journal, remember, this is for you, so be completely honest and transparent. This means not only recording what you're eating and how much you exercise, but what you really are feeling at the moment. There are no right or wrong answers. Do not underestimate the power of this program. Research has shown that keeping track of your feelings, habits, and numbers creates a system of feedback and accountability that by itself is healing and will help you change your behavior. And it doubles your weight loss. You don't have to believe it. Just do it. Get the Blood Sugar Solution online support tools now. I recommend you use my online companion course tools to record your journey. To start your journal, please go to bloodsugarsolution.com. The online companion course tools are a great place to track your progress, your story, your numbers, and your blood work, and to track your food intake and exercise, your inner journey, your obstacles, and your successes. Getting rid of mental obstacles. Take out your journal or use the online course tools and respond to the questions below. Think about what depletes your energy and what gives you energy as you record your responses. What are the top three things that you do that hold you back from your health and weight loss goals? These may include things like smoking or not getting enough sleep, not relaxing enough, excess sugar consumption, unconscious or emotional eating, choosing poor quality foods, eating late, skipping breakfast, and more. What are the top three emotions or mental habits that keep you from your health and weight loss goals? Is it putting things off? Depression, low self-esteem, fear, anger, resentment, or something else? Do you have any toxic relationships in your life right now? Do they serve a purpose for you? Is there a way you could give them up or change them? If so, how could you do that? How would your life be different without these behavioral habits, these mental and emotional constructs or relationships? Are you really too busy to change your habits in your life? Do you spend hours in front of the television or on the computer? How much time would you have to connect with friends and to find and prepare healthy food, to exercise and relax if you took a media fast? What are some behaviors, habits, and relationships you could choose to engage in that would give you energy and mental and spiritual and physical health? What motivates you in life? What makes you want to wake up each morning? What's your life's purpose? How does being overweight or ill diminish or detract from your life's purpose? How would following this program and getting well allow you to fulfill your life's purpose more effectively? Each of us has unique reasons for wanting to change in our health and our life. There's no right or wrong reason, just what's most important to you. Define your specific goals for creating health and happiness. Start by writing a list of your personal goals. Identify what you want and how you will get there. These questions are meant to get you started, but feel free to write whatever you like. Set aside a few hours and be specific. My health goals. Physical. What physical or health problems do I want to heal from, and how will I achieve that? Food. What is my relationship to food, and how do I want to nourish myself? Exercise. What is my relationship with my body and exercise? How will I change that? Sleep. Do I prioritize quality sleep? And what will I do to get enough sleep and recharge my body daily? Weight. How do I feel about my weight? What changes will I make to love my body rather than fight with it? What are my goals? My psychological and social goals. Emotional health. Am I anxious, depressed, or angry? Am I a glass half full or a half empty person? What thoughts and beliefs keep me stuck? Are there physical causes of my emotional state? Food, stress, nutritional deficiencies? What will I do to find out the source of my feelings and be the person I want to be? Relationships. What healing do I have to do in my relationships? What do I have to do to be a better child, partner, parent, friend, coworker, etc.? Work. What is my relationship to my work? How do I want to spend my time, energy, focus, skills, and talents? If I'm not happy, what can I do to change how I am in my work or change what I am doing? Meaning and purpose. Spiritual goals. What's important to me? What would I like to be my epitaph? What do I have to do to live up to that? Getting to what's important now. What are the someday I hope to thoughts that I have that I can make happen now? Prepare yourself. If you were going on vacation, you would organize your life to be sure everything was taken care of. The house, the work, the kids, the bills, and the dog. You would arrange your travel, you'd buy your tickets, pack your bags, and decide on a date and a place to go. You would make a decision and pick a date to begin your journey. Do the same thing for the most important trip you will ever take, the journey to wellness. Put a date on the calendar by which you will start your journey. Record it in your journal. The date you select will be the day you start the elimination phase of the program outlined in the section titled Prepare Your Body in this chapter. This phase will last for 1 week. When that week's over, you'll start the 6-week program described in part 4. At the end of the 6 weeks, you will learn how to stay healthy for life. Choose the date on which you want to begin this process right now. Prepare your healthy kitchen. Your kitchen is one of the most important rooms in your house. It has been hijacked by the food industry. It's time for you to reclaim it, to bring in real food and throw out fake food, to build on traditions of cooking and sharing meals with family and friends. Make mealtime a time of connection and celebration and nourishment for body and soul. It doesn't have to be hard or complicated. You simply have to get organized. If you don't have a nourishing home full of delicious, easy to prepare food, snacks, and emergency meals, you will have a hard time succeeding. Don't put obstacles in your path by leaving disease-creating foods in your kitchen. Our fat storage hormones, such as insulin, and stress hormones, such as cortisol, control our appetite and behavior. If they surge and you have a big chocolate cake in the fridge, there is no way you can overcome the reptilian part of your brain that controls feeding behavior. We have hundreds of genes that protect us from starvation, but very few that protect us from overeating. So here's how to get your kitchen ready for your journey. Rid your kitchen of disease and obesity-producing frankenfoods. Take an afternoon to hunt and gather in your kitchen. Be merciless. If it's not real food, throw it out. You will restock your pantry and fridge with real food in week 1 of the program. I will outline my top 10 rules for eating safely for life. If you follow these rules and think there will be nothing left to eat, then you have been eating in exactly the way that will make you sick and will keep you that way. The good news is that if your diet is all sugar and flour and processed foods, you have the biggest gains to achieve. Now, these rules are mostly about what not to eat. You should follow them forever. We will get to all the wonderful foods you can eat later in Chapter 19. 10 rules for eating safely for life and what to remove from your kitchen. Ideally, only have food without labels in your kitchen, or foods that don't come in a box, a package, or a can. Now, there are labeled foods that are great, such as sardines, artichoke hearts, roasted red peppers, but you have to be very smart in reading the labels. There are 2 things to look for, the ingredient list and the nutrition facts. Watch my video on how to buy food with labels that is safe and review how to interpret nutrition facts at bloodsugarsolution.com. Where is the primary ingredient on the list? If the real food is at the end of the list and sugar or salt at the beginning, beware. The most abundant ingredient is listed first, and the others are listed in descending order by weight. Be conscious, too, of ingredients that may not be on the list. Some ingredients may be exempt from labels. This is often true if the food is in a very small package, if it has been prepared in the store, or if it has been made by a small manufacturer. Be aware of these foods. If a food has a label, it should have fewer than 5 ingredients. If it has more than 5 ingredients, throw it out. Also, beware of food with health claims on the label. They're usually bad for you. Think sports beverages. I recently saw a bag of deep-fried potato chips with the health claims gluten-free, organic, no artificial ingredients, no sugar, and with fewer than 5 ingredients listed. Sounds great, right? But remember, cola is 100% fat-free, and that doesn't make it a health food. Rule number 3. If sugar, by any name, including organic cane juice, honey, agave, maple syrup, cane syrup, or molasses, is on the label, throw it out. There are 39 teaspoons of sugar in the average bottle of ketchup. The same goes for white rice and white flour, which act just like sugar in the body. If you have diabetes, you can't easily handle any flour, even whole grain flour. Throw it out. Rule number 4. Throw out any food with high fructose corn syrup on the label. It is a super sweet, super cheap, subsidized liquid sugar that is in nearly every processed food. Some high fructose corn syrup also contains mercury as a byproduct of the manufacturing process. Many liquid calories, such as sodas, juices, and sports drinks, contain this metabolic poison. It always signals low quality or processed food. Rule number 5. Throw out any food with the word hydrogenated on the label. This is an indicator of trans fats. Vegetable oils, which are converted through a chemical process into margarine or shortening. They're good for keeping cookies on the shelf for long periods of time without going stale. But these fats have been proven to cause heart disease, diabetes, and cancer. New York City and most European countries have banned trans fats, and you should too. Rule number 6. Throw out any highly refined cooking oils, such as corn or soy oil. I will explain which oils to buy in week 1 of the program. Also avoid toxic fats and fried foods. Rule number 7. Throw out any food with ingredients you can't recognize or pronounce or in Latin. Rule number 8. Throw out any food with preservatives, additives, coloring or dyes, or natural flavorings or flavor enhancers such as MSG. Rule number 9. Throw out food with artificial sweeteners of any kind. Aspartame, Splenda, sucralose, and sugar alcohols, any word that ends with all, such as xylitol or sorbitol. They make you hungrier, they slow your metabolism, and give you bad gas and make you store fat. And rule number 10, if it came from the earth or a farmer's field, not a food chemist's lab, it's safe to eat. As Michael Pollan says, if it was grown on a plant, not made in a plant, then you can keep it in your kitchen. If it's something your great-grandmother wouldn't recognize as food, such as a Lunchable or Go-Gurt, throw it out. Stay away from food-like substances. You will find a complete list of foods to avoid and more tips for cleaning out your pantry on my website, bloodsugarsolution.com. Also, check out the Center for Science in the Public Interest website for further information and updates at bloodsugarsolution.com/center-for-science-in-the-public-interest. Click on Chemical Cuisine. You can also watch my video on how to clean out your kitchen at bloodsugarsolution.com. Get your essential kitchen tools. Before changing your diet, you need the right tools to support your optimal journey to health. Kitchens are often bereft of even the most basic tools for preparing and cooking food. On my website and the companion PDF, I've listed the basic tools I feel are needed for the care and feeding of a human being. Invest in the highest quality tools you can. Good kitchen equipment will last a lifetime. Prepare your inner shopper. Let's face it, you're a hunter and a gatherer. You may carry a credit card instead of a spear, but make no mistake, you are on a mission for survival. Unfortunately, our food landscape is a nutritional wasteland consisting of supermarkets, convenience stores, fast food outlets, restaurant chains, train stations, airports, highway rest stops, and your own kitchen. We have no wisdom keepers who pass down the gathered knowledge of the ages of what to eat and what to avoid. Will this mushroom kill you or fill you? Will this fish heal you or paralyze you with a nasty fugu toxin? It's time to learn how to hunt and gather in the modern food desert. Buried in the mountains of sugar, fat, and salt in the average supermarket are nourishing foods. The American supermarket is a drugstore containing dangerous, disease-promoting, addictive drugs disguised as food, as well as healing medicinal foods made by nature. The worst offenders are on the end caps of the aisles and in the middle of the shelves. The beans, salsa, whole grains are hidden way down on the shelves or up so high you can't see them. Yet once you become a skilled hunter-gatherer, you can emerge with real, whole, healing foods for your family. While you won't be shopping for the foods in the meal plan until just before you begin the program, it's important to learn how to become an effective shopper during the preparation phase so you can be ready for that experience. I've created 2 short videos to give you a guided tour of the American supermarket. These will help you safely navigate what can be a dangerous place. See Supermarket Savvy, the bad stuff and the good stuff at BloodSugarSolution.com. I encourage you to make a shopping list every time you go to the supermarket and stick to it. You will save your money and your life. Prepare your inner chef. Not everyone likes cooking. That's okay. Not everyone likes school or exercise, but it's an important life skill unless you have a personal chef or a spouse or a partner who is happy to cook for you. When I was a boy, my mother told me, if you can read, you can cook. You don't have to be Julia Child or Mario Batali, but you can learn how to create nourishing, delicious, and healthy meals quickly and inexpensively without enrolling in cooking school. I know this may seem like a lot to do when you already have a busy schedule, but the average American spends more time watching cooking on television than actually cooking. Learning to cook is worth it. So many people say they don't have time to cook or the energy to cook, and I get it. I am very driven and have many careers: doctor, author, chairman of a nonprofit, volunteer, educator, as well as father, husband, son, brother, uncle, and friend. I have the energy to do all these things because I take care of my body and my mind. I sleep 8 hours a night, exercise 4 to 6 times a week, and cook and eat good food. I become an expert in instant, meaning quickly prepared food. I can go into a fridge and a pantry and prepare a delicious, hot, fresh, whole food meal in less time than it would take to bake a frozen pizza or order takeout. Give me 15 minutes and I can feed my family and myself. You can do it too. You just need a plan, and you need to plan ahead a bit and get your kitchen ready for the week. If you're resistant to cooking or think you don't have the time, the following journal exercise may help. Journaling exercise. Why don't I cook? Take out your journal and answer the following questions. What are the top 3 reasons you don't cook at present? Is it a lack of time? Do you cook poorly? Do you simply dislike cooking? How could you create more time to cook for yourself? Think of this in terms of priorities. Are the responsibilities in your life really more important than your health, the health of your children, and the health of our world? How could you carve out 15 or 20 minutes to cook 2 to 3 times a day? What could you do to make cooking more fun? You might listen to music or get your family involved in cutting, chopping, peeling, and cleaning. Cooking is a wonderful family activity, giving you time together without distraction, a chance to catch up and nourish one another. Or you could chat with a friend on a headset while chopping and dicing. You do have to learn how to put a meal together if you want to be healthy. Here are some easy ways to create simple, delicious meals. Dr. Hyman's favorite 3 meals in 30 minutes. I have provided a complete 2-week set of menus, recipes, and shopping lists in the companion PDF, and I will give you my Nutrition 101 course in week 1 of the plan. But as long as you understand some basic nutritional principles and learn a few simple cooking techniques, you don't need to follow the meal plan. You can make a protein shake or have a couple of poached omega-3 eggs for breakfast, or a bowl of brown rice, veggies, and protein for dinner. And you can learn to make some quick, easy, delicious, nourishing meals. Here's what a very busy day's meal might look like for me and how much time it takes me to make great food. I sometimes do use things with cans and labels, but only real food with 1 or 2 ingredients I can recognize, like navy beans or artichoke hearts or wild salmon. I can make 3 meals in 30 minutes total. I work fast, so it might take you a little longer. It won't be fancy, but it will be delicious and satisfying. Breakfast shake. Protein powder, rice, hemp, soy, pea, or chia seeds, frozen berries, unsweetened hemp milk, 1 tablespoon of omega-3 oil, and a small handful of walnuts or almonds. Toss in a blender, blend, and drink. Time to make and consume, 5 minutes. Lunch. Pre-washed arugula or mixed greens, a can of rinsed white beans, a jar or can of artichoke hearts, extra virgin olive oil, balsamic vinegar, a little salt and pepper. Combine and eat. Time to make, less than 5 minutes. Snacks, raw almonds or cashews. Time to make, 0 minutes. Dinner, prepare a pot of short grain brown rice ahead of time. It lasts 3 to 4 days in the fridge. Simply add 2 cups of water to 1 cup of rinsed brown rice, bring to a boil, cover, and then simmer for 45 minutes. I then take the rice, put some in a bowl, heat it in the microwave, not ideal, but you do what you got to do, or saute it in a nonstick pan with a little olive oil and salt. Tastes better that way. If I've sauteed it, I put the rice in the bowl. I use the same pan to cook some pre-washed spinach or other dark chopped green leafy vegetables like kale or collards or chard, or some broccolini or asparagus. I add a little olive oil, some pre-crushed or pre-peeled garlic. I told you I'm very busy. And I add that to the greens and quickly saute it at medium heat in the pan. I add a little wheat-free tamari or salt and a few tablespoons of water to prevent it from sticking. Then I put some canned wild salmon in the bowl on top of the rice. I put the greens, a large amount because they're filling, full of nutrients, and contain very few calories, on top of the fish and rice. And I have a delicious meal. Time to cook, 15 minutes at most. I do it in under 10. Imagine what you could do in an hour. For more variety, you can use the same basic sets of steps above and simply change the ingredients or the order. Use frozen blackberries and nut butter in your shake one day and blueberries and walnuts the next. Add canned salmon or sardines to the mixed greens for lunch. Try the navy beans at dinner or saute a chicken breast to go with brown rice and veggies or dice it for a chicken stir fry. Don't care for rice? Try quinoa or buckwheat instead. All are wonderful whole grains that can be cooked in advance. You need to learn basic cooking skills in order to heal your body. The kitchen is where it all begins. Medical clinics of the future will include teaching kitchens where patients will learn basic cooking skills and food selection and preparation. Wouldn't you rather learn how to make food your medicine than take a bunch of medications that don't work half as well and have only bad side effects? Experiment with food. Seek out local cooking classes. Have a friend teach you how to cook. It's well worth the effort. You can also watch some cooking videos I've created at bloodsugarsolution.com. Prepare the body. 1 week before you begin the program, you'll start your drug holiday. The four top-selling items at supermarkets are all drugs: sugar, caffeine, alcohol, and nicotine. These drugs boost our energy or mood, or they relax or calm us. But in the end, they are false aids that deplete our energy and our health. A quick fix of sugar or caffeine gives you a brief boost, and then you crash and crave. Not a good cycle. Alcohol is just sugar in another form. It impairs your impulse control, and so you'll consume more. Once you get off these drugs, you will realize just how much they were robbing you of your health and your energy. Smoking is hard to quit. Seek help from your doctor or try hypnosis, acupuncture, or medication. I can get you off the other drugs without too much suffering. 1 week before the program, cut out all of these addictive substances from your diet and your life. All sugar, including all flour products, breads, pastas, and other highly processed carbs that act like sugar. All the toxic processed foods mentioned in my 10 rules for eating safely for life. Alcohol for 7 weeks, 1 week preparation and 6 weeks in the program. Caffeine for 7 weeks, 1 week in the preparation phase and 6 weeks in the program. Do not underestimate the power of eliminating these addictive substances that drive cravings and imbalances in your blood sugar. If you do nothing else in this book, these steps can change your life. They can boost your metabolism, balance your blood sugar, and help you lose weight. Take action. Cut cravings for sugar and end food addiction. Take the following steps to minimize your withdrawal symptoms as you eliminate addictive substances from your diet. 10 tips for cutting your cravings. Tip number 1, balance your blood sugar. Swings in blood sugar are the major drivers of cravings, so keep your blood sugar stable. Eliminate sugar and artificial sweeteners 100% and your cravings will go away. Go cold turkey. Eliminate refined sugars, sodas, fruit juices, and artificial sweeteners from your diet, as these can trigger cravings. Combine good protein, like fish, organic eggs, small amounts of lean poultry, nuts, whole soy foods, and legumes, with good fats from fish and extra virgin olive oil, unrefined coconut oil, olives, nuts, other than peanuts, seeds, and avocados, and with good carbs, beans, vegetables, whole grains, and fruit. At each meal, this will help balance your blood sugar. Tip number 2, don't drink your calories. Liquid calories drive up your appetite and waist size more than anything else. They will pour on the pounds. Tip number 3, eat a nutritious protein breakfast. Studies repeatedly show that eating a healthy protein-containing breakfast helps people lose weight, reduce cravings, and burn calories. Good proteins are eggs, nuts, seeds, nut butters, or a protein shake. See my Ultra Shake recipes in the companion PDF at bloodsugarsolution.com. Tip number 4, have small, frequent, fiber-rich meals throughout the day. Eat every 3 to 4 hours and have some protein with each meal or snack. Lean animal protein, nuts, seeds, or beans. Tip number 5, avoid eating within 3 hours of bedtime. It drives up insulin before you sleep, which makes you store more belly fat. Belly fat drives cravings through inflammatory and hormonal triggers. Tip number 6, manage your stress. Anything stressful can trigger hormones that activate cravings. If you have the urge to eat, ask yourself 2 questions. What am I feeling and what do I need? Is there something else besides food that will help you get what you need? Adopt a daily stress management program that includes deep breathing exercises, meditation, and other relaxation techniques. Tip number 7, Find out if hidden food allergies are triggering your cravings. We often crave the very foods we're allergic to, which is why I recommend stopping wheat and gluten and dairy for the first 6 weeks of the program. Getting off them is not easy, but after 2 or 3 days without them, you'll have renewed energy and relief from cravings and symptoms. Tip number 8, get moving. Exercise helps control and regulate your appetite. Tip 9, get 7 to 8 hours of sleep a night. Not getting enough sleep drives sugar and carb cravings by affecting your appetite hormones. And tip 10, optimize your nutrient levels. Optimize omega-3 fats. Omega-3 fats are important for controlling insulin function. Optimize your vitamin D level. Your appetite control is impaired by low vitamin D levels. Consider taking natural supplements for craving control. L-glutamine or PGX, a super fiber, chromium, alpha-lipoic acid, DL-phenylalanine, N-acetylcysteine, and other natural dietary supplements can help reduce cravings. Take action. Eliminate caffeine in 7 days. When I was in medical school, everybody drank coffee, so I started drinking my daily cup of Joe. I noticed I got very sleepy in the afternoon, and I needed some more caffeine or sugar to perk me up. I realized that coffee was the cause, so I stopped drinking it, and my energy came back. I see many of my patients get trapped in this vicious cycle. Most also get too little sleep. But caffeine cannot compensate for lack of sleep. When you eliminate caffeine, you will be more tired for the first few days. You may even get a headache. These withdrawal symptoms are a sure sign of addiction. But when you finally do get off caffeine, you will have more energy than you did when you were on it. Here's how to end your addiction as painlessly as possible. Start on a weekend when you can catch up on sleep. Cut your dose in half every day until you are down to 1/2 cup of coffee a day, then stop. Drink plenty of water. Take 1,000 milligrams of vitamin C a day. And if you get a headache, go to bed, or if you have to, take a couple of Advil. Take action. Take a break from alcohol, another form of liquid calories. A nice glass of red wine with a meal, a cold beer on a hot day, or a shot of tequila at a party are some of the sweet pleasures of life. But as a daily habit, alcohol can do more harm than you realize, especially if you have diabetes. It may raise triglycerides or elevate blood pressure. It can impair gut function, interrupt sleep, increase cancer risk, impair your liver function, and act as an additional calorie source and prevent you from achieving a healthy weight. It's best that you avoid all alcoholic beverages while you're on the program. Consider this. If you drink 2 glasses of wine a day, you will consume an extra 72,000 calories a year. If you don't reduce your food intake, which you won't because alcohol reduces your inhibitions around food, you could gain an extra 20 pounds a year. And these liquid calories go right to your belly. So stop for 6 weeks, see how you feel, and then if you want, enjoy 1 to 3 glasses of wine or alcohol a week. A glass is 5 ounces of wine, 1.5 ounces of distilled spirits, or 12 ounces of beer. Remember, if you do nothing else recommended in this audiobook, eliminating sugar, refined carbohydrates, processed food, trans fats, caffeine and alcohol will have profound effects on your weight, energy, mood, and health in just a few weeks. So take that drug holiday. It will be the best vacation of your life. Chapter 16, Harness the Power of Community. In the fall of 2010, I had dinner with Rick Warren, the pastor of the 30,000 strong Saddleback Church in Southern California. Over a healthy dinner of beaten cabbage and autumn soup and a salad, he described his extraordinarily successful experiment for sustained personal growth and change. Rick had encouraged his congregation to form 5,000 small groups that met every week to study, learn, and grow together in their community. In that moment, I envisioned using those same small groups as a means of creating healthy lifestyle change. With the help of Drs. Mehmet Oz and Daniel Amen, we created the Daniel Plan, a 52-week curriculum for physical and spiritual health and renewal that would be delivered through the small groups. Rick named it the Daniel Plan, after the book of Daniel, which tells a story of King Nebuchadnezzar and the Israelites he imprisoned. The first support group, Daniel and his friends. In the first chapter of the book of Daniel, Daniel and his three enslaved friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, were commanded to eat from the king's kitchen of rich foods and wine. Daniel and his friends were determined not to defile themselves by eating the food and drinking the wine. Daniel asked the chief of staff, Melzar, for permission to refuse the king's command. But Melzar implored Daniel to do as he was told so that he, Melzar, would not be beheaded for going against the king's orders. He said that the king would know if Daniel and his friends hadn't eaten his food because they would look malnourished. Daniel then gave him this challenge. Please test us for 10 days on a diet of vegetables and water. At the end of 10 days, see how we look compared to the other young men who are eating the king's food. Then make your decision in the light of what you see. Melzar agreed to Daniel's challenge and tested them for 10 days. At the end of the 10 days, Daniel and his three friends looked healthier and better nourished than the young men who were eating the food assigned by the king. So after that, Melzar fed them only vegetables instead of the food and wine provided for the others. God gave these four men an unusual aptitude for understanding every aspect of literature and wisdom. On January 15, 2011, the day we launched the Daniel Plan at Saddleback Church, more than 8,000 people signed up to participate in small groups, track their progress, and be part of a research study. Within 2 months, 15,000 people had signed up. The plan includes a weekly curriculum, learning objectives, videos, webinars, seminars, and online support. From a survey taken after the first 6 weeks, we found that the congregation had lost an estimated 160,000 pounds total, or about 8% of their body weight. After 10 months, the average weight loss for those who did the program was 18.6 pounds, and many lost 50 to 100 pounds. But those who did the program together lost twice as much weight as those who did it alone. And many experienced relief from chronic symptoms, including migraines, asthma, reflux, irritable bowel, autoimmune diseases, depression, insomnia, cravings, joint pain, gout, acne, skin problems, and more. The Daniel Plan changed the entire culture of the church almost overnight. Local supermarkets and restaurants were offering Daniel Plan-friendly options. It worked as a treatment for disease. Diseases went away as a side effect of creating health. And one of the most important ingredients of the treatment is the healing power of the group itself. I realized that the group is the medicine. The community is the cure. Community, the social cure for our social disease. The seed of this idea started in my mind when I went to Haiti with Paul Farmer after the earthquake in January 2010. His nonprofit organization, Partners in Health, has created a powerful and successful model for treating drug-resistant tuberculosis and AIDS in the most impoverished countries in the world. The brilliance of the vision wasn't in coming up with a new drug regimen or building big medical centers, but in a very simple idea. The missing ingredient in curing these patients was making sure they had the medication they needed and making sure they took it. They needed someone to accompany them back to health. By recruiting and training more than 11,000 community health workers across the world, Farmer proved that the sickest, poorest patients with the most difficult to treat diseases could be successfully treated. The community was the treatment. The same vision can be applied to the diabetes epidemic. A community-based support system is an effective way to guide people towards sustainable behavior and lifestyle change. What the research shows, community support works better than medication. Though the data from the Daniel Plan Initiative is far from complete, we already know quite a bit about the impact community has on lifestyle change. The existing research proves that community and the use of small groups are more effective than any medication to treat obesity and diabetes. More studies are coming in every day showing that small groups of all kinds, led by trained laypeople, peers, community health workers, nurses, health coaches, and health professionals in community health centers, churches, schools, and even people's homes, all work better than conventional care for diabetes and chronic disease. A landmark 2002 study based on the Diabetes Prevention Program and a 10-year follow-up study sponsored by the National Institute of Health showed that group lifestyle intervention is more powerful than any other treatment, including medication, to prevent diabetes in those with prediabetes. With regular lifestyle support and education, participants lost 5% of their body weight and reduced their risk of diabetes by 58%. This lifestyle-based group approach was also proven effective in a large Finnish diabetes prevention study. I recently met one of the original participants in the diabetes prevention program. Her story astounded me. The lifestyle program was anemic, and it was based on outdated nutrition advice. They met every few weeks in a group to share their progress and their difficulties. They had very basic nutrition counseling, which was mostly wrong, like how to eat a low-fat diet for diabetes, the worst nutrition prescription we now know of for the illness. They had a journal to track their food intake, exercise, and weight, and they met for exercise only once a week. And still, this program worked better than any medication on the market. In fact, the study of the control group, treated only with medication, was stopped early. The ethics review board found it was unethical to continue to treat with medication and to withhold lifestyle treatment. The woman I met said the most powerful aspects of the program were the group sessions and tracking her progress in a journal. Once the program stopped and she no longer had to track her progress or had the social support, her health declined. The Look Ahead study, which is a 13-year study of 5,000 people funded by the National Institutes of Health, compared an intensive group lifestyle change program for diabetes prevention to regular care with individual visits to the diabetic educator, nutritionist, and doctor. To date, the group lifestyle program has proven remarkably more effective in lowering weight, cholesterol, blood sugar, and blood pressure than conventional medical care. Once this study is completed, it will completely change our way of thinking about how to treat disease. Group lifestyle intervention is not just effective with diabetes. Dr. Dean Ornish developed highly successful group treatment programs for heart disease and prostate cancer. These kinds of programs are more effective and will save more lives and more money than any medication and surgery for diseases caused by lifestyle and environmental factors. Journaling exercise. Why won't I join a community? Most of us don't consider ourselves joiners. We find it difficult to get involved with a community of people. Ask yourself why you feel that way. Write about it. Remember that you can certainly start your own community, even if it's a community of two. Write down a list of friends or coworkers or family members and invite them to start a small group. Let me reiterate that almost all of the programs that have been studied were based on outdated or less than optimal lifestyle interventions, and yet they still work better than any medication. That is the power of the social group, the power of the social cure, the power of group as medicine. The right information delivered in a fun curriculum through a social group has the power to turn our obesity and diabetes epidemic around. Imagine the power of a more intensive program based on a weekly group meeting or experiences, current nutrition science, better exercise recommendations, supported by an improved journal and tracking system, and interactive expert education and coaching to help participants optimize and personalize their diet, supplement regimen, and treatment recommendations. That is what I've created for you in the Blood Sugar Solution and its companion website. Go to bloodsugarsolution.com now to learn more about our online course and community, to create a group and start using the tools today. The growing movement toward community support. Two Portland doctors approached me after a lecture I gave and told me about their program for poor, undocumented Hispanic women with chronic symptoms, obesity, and diabetes. For very little money, about $15 per person per session, they successfully guided these women to health in a program they called Reclamado Su Salud, Reclaim Your Health. They used a program based on the blood sugar solution, which I've taught at many medical conferences. Their group of 20 women met weekly for 5 classes, then every 2 weeks for a total of 8 3-hour classes. The weight loss ranged from 5 to 20 pounds, blood pressures dropped an average of 10 to 20 points, and depression and inflammation scores dropped significantly. Much can be done with a little help from your friends. These examples represent just the beginning of what's possible when we work together. We are social beings and thrive on connection. I met with human resource and benefits executives at Google to advise them on creating a healthy workforce. A survey of their Googlers discovered that most of them wanted more ways to connect with one another. Social networks and groups are spontaneously sprouting up as support systems for lifestyle change. Not only can Facebook and Twitter help facilitate democratic revolution in countries such as Egypt, but they can link communities together in a common purpose to reclaim their health. Smartphone applications including FitDay, Daily Burn, Gain Fitness, Lose It, MyFitnessPal, and Social Workout all encourage tracking your progress and sharing it with your friends and community. These tools are early in development, but they speak to the need to build connection and community in the support of health. With the shift in healthcare policy prohibiting insurers from excluding sick patients or canceling insurance, and the mandate for universal coverage, insurers can no longer shift responsibility for prevention and health promotion. Large insurers such as United Healthcare and Cigna are scrambling to create innovative community-based programs to address the tsunami of disease and costs they can no longer avoid. This community-based group approach also solves many enormous obstacles faced by the healthcare system. Today, conventional doctors are the primary method by which people with diabetes receive healthcare. Unfortunately, most of these doctors have no training in lifestyle medicine or behavior change, and they lack the time, resources, and support team to facilitate such change. And they do not get paid for helping patients create sustainable lifestyle changes. Currently, physicians and healthcare organizations have nowhere to refer patients and no clear, well-documented, proven solution to provide their patients. Telling their patients to eat better and exercise more is just not enough. We can be part of a larger movement to create a healthy nation. Take back our health. You can learn how to join this in Chapter 27, but it starts at home, with our families, our friends, our social network, our communities, our schools, our workplaces, our churches and temples and mosques. You need to build yourself a support system to succeed long term. You need a team working together toward the same goals. It might be just one person, a health coach, a wellness champion, a community health worker or health professional, or an online community that can support, encourage, and guide you. Start by finding people who will do the program with you. Create a small group, even if it is just one friend who can support you through the process. Ask your friends and family and coworkers and spiritual community members to join you. Use the guided online course and support program to help you along each week at bloodsugarsolution.com and find others who can be your support group. You can still be successful following the program by yourself, but it will be more fun, effective, and sustainable when done with others in community. Take action. Join or create a group. Learn more about our online support community at bloodsugarsolution.com, where you will find both personalized individual support tools and a way to create a support group on your own. At the website, I've also provided a way for community health workers, health professionals, workplaces, and faith-based organizations to start their own groups. Using these tools, you can create a self-guided support group with friends, even just one friend, and other members online, family members, coworkers, neighbors, or members of your faith-based community. Here's what's available to support your journey back to health. A complete 12-week course, 2 weeks of preparation, a 6-week program, and a 4-week transition to the Healthy for Life Maintenance Program. You can also access an ongoing program for those who want long-term education, coaching for themselves, or support for the group. Weekly education, including specific objectives, action items, educational videos, exercise instruction, relaxation exercises, strategies for overcoming roadblocks, obstacles, and more. And you'll find tools to track your progress, measurements of weight and blood pressure, lab test symptoms, dietary and exercise tracking tools, and many others, and an online journal with all the exercises and questions in the book, and more. Online health and nutrition coaching with trained nutritionists and lifestyle educators to answer your questions and guide you. Webinars and workshops are also available to support your journey. Take action. Ask for support from everyone else. Ask for support from friends and family and coworkers who are not in your group. Set clear boundaries with family, friends, and coworkers. Don't let them sabotage your efforts to reclaim your health. Learn how to cope with food pushers in your life. These are the people who say, "Oh, don't worry about it. What can one little soda really do?" For some of us, that one little soda can set us on a downward spiral to overeating and all the negative health consequences that come with it. Make a clear stand and explain to people why you're making these changes and why they're important to you. And if they're true friends, they will see why it's essential that you take back your health. Take action. Support a grassroots movement to take back our health. Use the online tools at takebackourhealth.org and in Chapter 27 in Part 5 to take action individually at your workplace, your local schools, your faith-based communities, and your community centers, and to support the political changes needed to create health at home and in the world. Become part of the movement. Become part of the conversation. Chapter 17, Take a Measure of Yourself. The Blood Sugar Solution translates scientific research into practical recommendations for anyone who wants to get and stay healthy. Soon you will start on this path toward balancing your insulin and your blood sugar. But first, you need to take some basic baseline measurements, take a quiz, and take some tests to determine which version of the program you should be following. The basic and advanced plans. There are two versions of the program. The basic program can be followed by anyone. It balances your blood sugar, reduces insulin spikes, balances hormones, cools off inflammation, helps improve digestion, it boosts your metabolism, enhances detoxification, and calms your mind and nervous system. 80% of you following the basic plan will have all the tools you need to heal from diabetes and take control of your health. The advanced program is designed for people with more severe cases of diabetes, including all those who've been diagnosed with diabetes. The genomic revolution and our understanding of the various factors that create imbalances in our metabolism force us to move beyond the one-size-fits-all prescriptions of the past into personalized medicine and health. Some of us are genetically more susceptible to becoming insulin-resistant and pump out much more insulin in response to a given sugar load, even if we're thin. Some of us are more likely to accumulate toxins or have inflammation from eating gluten or have sluggish mitochondria or odd populations of gut bacteria or to have hormonal problems. The advanced program will help those of you who have more serious biochemical and metabolic imbalances. If you qualify for the advanced program, you will take an additional set of supplements and make a few extra dietary changes. To determine which plan is best for you and effectively track your progress, you will need to complete 3 action steps. Get measured, take a quiz, and get tested. Take action. Gather and record your body measurements. You can quickly gather and track critical information about your health with 4 simple, easy-to-obtain measurements. They tell you volumes about your health and metabolism. Here is what to measure and how to measure it. You can find special health trackers and online versions of these tools at bloodsugarsolution.com. First, your weight. Weigh yourself first thing in the morning without clothes and after going to the bathroom. Track your weight once a week in your journal. 2. Your height. Measure it in feet and inches. Write it in your journal. Your waist size. Measure the widest point around your belly button. Track this weekly in your journal. Your blood pressure. Buy a home blood pressure cuff or go to a drugstore that measures blood pressure for free, or get your doctor to measure it. Track it weekly in your journal. Measure it first thing in the morning before you start your daily activities. The ideal blood pressure is less than 115 over 75. Over 140 over 90 is significantly elevated. I highly recommend getting the Wi-Fi body scale and blood pressure monitor. It uploads your weight, your body mass index, your body composition, and blood pressure privately into your smartphone and our online tools and trackers. We can provide support and feedback as you go through the blood sugar solution. Research shows that tracking your progress and being accountable doubles your results. To learn more, go to bloodsugarsolution.com/wethings, W-I-T-H-I-N-G-S. Once you have these critical measurements, you can determine other key numbers. First, your body mass index. This is your weight in kilograms divided by your height in meters squared. For ease of calculation, use our online calculator at bloodsugarsolution.com/tracking-tools. This gives you a way of tracking if you're normal weight, overweight, or obese. Normal is less than 25. Overweight is 26 to 29, and obese is over 30. However, you should take into account your waist size as well. If you are a muscular bodybuilder with a small waist, you could be healthy with a high BMI. If you have skinny arms and legs and a skinny butt but a pot belly, you might have a normal BMI, but be at big risk for diabetes. Also, certain ethnic groups such as Asians, Hispanics, Native Americans, Pacific Islanders, Inuit Indians, Middle Easterners have diabetes at much lower BMIs. Track your BMI weekly in your journal along with your other measurements. Second, your waist to height ratio. To calculate this, take your waist measurement and divide it by your height in inches. Move the decimal point 2 places to the right. See the chart in the companion PDF to interpret your waist to height ratio, or go to bloodsugarsolution.com and enter your height and weight online, and it will be automatically calculated for you. This number is very important. It tells you if you are fat around the middle. If you stand sideways while looking in the mirror and you have a big belly, or you can't see your toes when standing up, then you have a problem. This number is a better predictor of diabetes, heart disease, and risk of death than almost any other number, including waist to hip measurements. It's also easier to calculate. Measure this once a week while on the program and record it in your journal. Once you've gone off the program, you can measure it once a month. After each week of the program has been completed, I recommend you come back to this section and reassess your measurements and see how much your body has changed. Getting feedback about your results is essential and motivating. Record your numbers. Go to bloodsugarsolution.com to learn about our online tools for tracking all your quiz scores, your body measurements, your blood tests, daily experiences, thoughts, and feelings, so you can easily measure your progress over time. At the web